All right, good to see you today. Today being the first Sunday in the month of August, August the 3rd, we're going to finish out lesson number 6, part 2 of lesson number 6. And if you'll notice today in your bulletin, I put you a map in there, all right? Do you see that map of the wall? That way everybody can have a copy of the map. And you can see that. I want you to look at this, how God blessed. And in this third chapter of the book of Nehemiah, we started last week talking about that. And our theme verse is found in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6. And this is what Nehemiah wrote. He said, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." The people had a mind to work. And we were looking at this last week, and I want us again to see this. And I know in this chapter, it's a little difficult to read because it's got all these funny names in there. And I started last week telling you about all these different people that were working on the walls and how that Nehemiah was delegating the work that needed to be done. And I want you to see this today as we get into this. As the people had a mind to work, they began to work. And you know, there were all kinds of things going on, but there were some discouragements along the way. And you know, one of the discouragements was, if you look here in verses 4 and 5, chapter number 3, verse 4 and 5. Let me turn there just a moment and find it here. All right, it said, "And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Koz, and next unto them repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, and next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana, and next unto them the Tekoites repaired." And look at the last part of verse number 5. "But their nobles put not their necks to the work." It broke their hearts. And you know, I'm sure that the people's hearts were broken. I'm sure that Nehemiah's heart was broken because he wanted the leaders to get involved. And you know what? It breaks your heart when you see folks like this, and I'm sure it brought grief to their heart to see leaders that wouldn't do anything in the work of the Lord. But you know what? The encouragement part about this is it didn't stop the people from doing what God said do. And you know what, folks, I want to remind you of something today. No matter who does or who does not serve the Lord, each of us, you and I, as individuals, are still accountable unto God. Amen? We're accountable unto God. And we can look around and we can see all kinds of excuses today not to serve the Lord, okay? We can see reasons. We say, well, if they'd serve the Lord, then I'd serve the Lord. But that's not what God's looking for. He wants us to serve the Lord no matter who else does or does not. And I want to share a couple verses with you here. I know it said here that the nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. But I want you to, with your finger there, I want you to turn over to two verses in the New Testament. One of them is found in Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. I want you to look there with me. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. We need to remember this and not quit serving God because others don't. Okay? We don't serve God because others do or don't. We serve God because we love Him enough to do that. Amen? Listen, I love my wife. That's why I come home for dinner. You know, I come home at lunch every day. And we sit down, we fix us a sandwich, and we'll fix us a little something to eat, munch on. I'll take Precious out and walk her. And I want to be there. I want to spend time with her, with them, okay? My wife and my little Precious, all right? But you know what? We ought to want the same thing when we're serving the Lord. Now, again, I know it grieves your heart when you don't see somebody that perhaps used to do something for God or just refuses to do something for God. It grieves your heart to see them not do anything for God. But you know what? God said here in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, look at it with me. So then every one of us, that's every one of us as individuals, all right? So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you see that today? That is something to think about. And I know a lot of people, and I am looking for the Lord to come back any moment. Man, you look at all the things that are happening in this world, and I expect him to just come any moment. Folks are saying, oh, the signs of the times. Listen, the signs that we are seeing, all right, are of his second coming, all right? That's 7 years after the Lord Jesus takes his church out of here. So if we can see the signs of his second coming, I want you to understand, 7 years before that, he comes and gets us out of here. And if we can see those signs now, man, how close to his coming to take us out of here must we really be? So we need to be looking to serve the Lord now. Serve him. Why? Because we're each going to stand accountable unto God as individuals. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And I want you to look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And again, Paul says, for we, he's talking to us as Christians, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. You know what, folks? When I stand before the Lord, I give account unto God. I want to be able to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But we can't hear that if we're not willing to serve him. And we need to be willing to serve him no matter who does or who does not serve him. And what thrills my heart is here, that even though these rulers chose not to put their necks to the work of the Lord, there are many other nobles that you'll read about here as the chapters go on and the verses go on. You'll read about many other nobles and other rulers who did choose to put their necks to the work of the Lord. So you say, preacher, what are you trying to tell us today? I'm trying to tell you, don't focus on falling stars. Keep your focus on the ones that are staying faithful. Amen? I love to go out with a telescope and look at the stars at night, and occasionally you'll see some zipping down, falling stars, okay? You'll get into a meteor shower every now and then, okay? And you'll see all these meteors coming down. And oh, that's spectacular. Boy, you see a lot of things. But what amazes me, and I was out this morning with with my other precious, the little dog, taking her out. And last night, all right, looking at the stars and just thinking about all those stars that stay in place. And man, how that I want to stay in my place. I want to be found faithful, amen, to serve the Lord. So I want you to look at this. As we read on in the other verses that follow here, we see goldsmiths, okay? These are people of prominence and importance. The son of some apothecaries, okay? Various leaders and rulers from Jerusalem. Beth-Kur, Keilah, Mizpah. They were all putting their necks to the work of the Lord to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to make it a safe place for their loved ones to dwell inside that city. So they, yes, there were ones that did not want to serve God. But you know what? There were many more that did. So all I'm saying today is don't focus yourself on folks that don't live for God, that don't serve God. Pray for them. Pray that God will help them to see the need to serve the Lord. But you remember that you and I, each of us, need to press on for the glory of God. Amen? And we need to be found faithful in all that we do. So that brings us now to point number two in your bulletin today. Point number two, where Nehemiah delegates the work on the western wall. Now, I want you to look at your little diagram today. We started at the top of the gate, at the sheep gate, remember? And as you look at the sheep gate there, we're working toward the western wall, which is to the left-hand side. All right? We're working to the left. He's placing people in strategic places, and he's putting them into those places. So we're going to begin here in Nehemiah chapter 3 in verse number 6, and we're going to go down through verse 13. It said, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodeiah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Now these are locking bars. These are bars to keep evil people out of their city. These are not drinking bars, okay? I say that because I've had folks come back to me and say, see there, God has no problem with drinking. No, that's not what he's talking about. No, don't use that as an excuse for doing a wicked thing as that. All right? They were setting up the bars and the locks thereof to keep people out. And next unto them repaired Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jadon, the Meronothite, and the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side the river. Next unto him repaired Uzziel, the son of Harahiah, of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. Now you see where they're going there? Look in your picture. You see they're coming all the way around the top corner. And they're coming down now, down that western wall, headed south, next to the broad wall. And next unto them repaired Raphiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. And next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Haramath, even unto against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashabaniah, Malkajah, I guess, the son of Haram, and Hashab, the son of Pahal, the other guy there, it starts with a P, okay? He repaired the other piece, all right? And the tower of the furnaces. And next unto him repaired Shalem, okay, the son of Halahash, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Already we see two rulers of the half parts of Jerusalem working there. And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halahash, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. Okay? The daughters got involved. It wasn't just the boys working on the walls. The whole family. They served the Lord together as a family. You know what? That ought to be something that we ought to be excited to do today. Get your family involved. Amen? Get them involved. Then it said, the valley gate repaired Hanun, and the inhabitants of Zenoa, they built it and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. Now you look at that, all the way down from where the priest's house were, from the broad wall, and these folks worked all the way down to the very southernmost tip of the city at the dung gate. You see that? Man, these folks worked. That's a lot of space. And God knew the names of everyone. Now, I have trouble pronouncing those names. And sometimes you have pronunciation problems with those names, okay? And if you are like me, and you may be, you may not tell the truth about it, but I get to those places and I want to skip that, okay? Because I can't read the names. But let me tell you why I don't skip it. It's because God saw that what these folks were doing was important enough to record it in His Word. He took what they were doing as being important. And you know what? When God saw the importance of it, He said, you know what? They may not be known to history. They may not be known to anybody around. But I know what they did. And I'm going to write their names down. I'm going to keep a record. You know what? That ought to thrill our souls to death today. That it's God that's keeping the record. Amen? God is keeping the record. And what we do for Him. These folks weren't doing anything for fame or popularity. They were doing it because they loved the Lord their God. They loved the city that God had given unto them. And they were thankful that God had provided for all their needs. And they said, you know what? We're going to build the wall. We're going to work. Why? Because they had a heart and a mind to do the work. Amen. Isn't that great? That lets you know, listen, you may not think anybody notices what you do, but God takes note of that. Man, that encourages my heart. That makes me just want to keep on going. Lord, nobody else may know, but you know. And you know why I'm doing it. And that's why we need to keep on serving Him today. Amen? Now, look at what it said. The old gate is rebuilt. Verses 6 through 12. We just read through that. This old gate was the historical place in the city. And it was probably the gate in this old city that was first built by Solomon. This old gate. And many of the people would have counted it an honor to rebuild that section of that wall. To think, man, they were going back and rebuilding what had been destroyed through their own disobedience and rebellion toward God. The walls that Solomon had originally built there. And now they had an opportunity to rebuild that. There are many people that worked on this delicate but very vital part of the city. And we saw the names that were listed. And Nehemiah chose to use many of the high-ranking officials and their families to get involved. And he put them in places where he could encourage them. And the people could see the leaders doing what they were supposed to do. And they said, well, you know what? If the leaders will do it, we'll do it as well. And so God blessed him. And God used him to delegate this work to the right places. And then we come down to the Valley Gate there in verse 13. The Valley Gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoa. They built it. They set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the Dung Gate. Now, I thought I had written this down. Mike, you had your phone out there. You got a big calculator brain. All right. Let's figure a cubit is 18 inches times 1,000, okay, divided by 12. How many feet is that? 1,500 feet. Man, that's a long way. And these folks worked. I mean, that's a lot of work. 1,000 cubits. They worked on this. And they did it because they loved the Lord. Amen? They did it because they loved the Lord. Now, because Nehemiah wanted the job to be done right, he wanted it to be done for the glory of God, and he gave specific instructions on what to do here in verse 13. They built it. They set up the doors thereof. They set up the locks thereof and the bars thereof, and they did it for 1,000 cubits on the wall all the way down to the Dung Gate. Man, they did it because they wanted to do what was right. He encouraged them. And you know what? Nothing helps a job to be done like encouragement. Amen. Nothing helps a job to be done like encouragement. And I want to encourage you today. Listen, get your eyes off of people, okay? People will let you down, okay? And you know what? One of the first people will probably let you down could be me. I'm just a human just like you are. I got two legs and two arms. All right? I don't think I got four legs, all right? I got two legs and two arms and two ears and one big mouth just like you do, okay? All right? But you know what? I may fail you. You may fail me. But together we can serve the Lord. Amen? And we will work until Jesus comes. That's why I picked that song today. And I want you to think about the job that you have the privilege to do for the Lord. Little is much when God is in it. I was in here yesterday. Where's Cindy? There she is. You're not sitting in the same place. You got me mixed up. I was downstairs yesterday getting stuff ready for the baptisms. And Cindy helps out on the ladies' side downstairs. And Brother Mike Mangum, he's in here somewhere. He may be out on security. He helps me with the guys on the other side. And we're getting everything ready in there. And I was writing down the stuff and thinking about this. Now, tomorrow, she's going to be down helping Michaela. Michaela is going to be getting baptized this morning, young lady. And she's going to be there to encourage her. Mike will be downstairs to encourage Tim. He's getting baptized this morning. Big, tall, skinny guy. Set up here on the front row a couple weeks ago, okay? And he's going to be getting ready for that. He's got a guest here with him today to see him get baptized. And you know what? These folks will not be seen doing what they're doing. But what they're doing is going to bring honor and glory to God in encouraging these folks, getting them ready, okay? They got to take the towels and the wet clothes and everything else, and they'll take them home and help me get them washed and things like that and bring them back and keep everything fixed up downstairs. And these are things that people don't see being done, but you know what? It's important to the Lord. And every aspect of building the city, every aspect of every wall and every door and every set of bars that needed to be put up and all the locks being put in those doors and those gates and things, it was important that it be done and it be done right. And you know what? That's what these people did. Now look down at the work on the southern part of the wall, verses 14, 15, and 16. Look at it with me. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of the part of Beth Hakkerem. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. The dung wall. Anybody know what that is? Okay? It's not the most pleasant place to have to work, okay? Especially when there's rubble mixed in with it and you got to get it all cleaned out and fixed up. But look who was willing to do it. One of the leaders, the ruler of part of Beth Hasserim, or however you pronounce that. He built it. He set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shulam, the son of Kol-Hose, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him repaired Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Bethzur, unto the place over against the sepulchres of David. Okay, you see those sepulchres there? And the Davidic tombs and things on your map, and to the pool that was made unto the house of the mighty. Here in verse 14, the dung gate is built. It's fixed up. It's repaired. All the way, it's located there on the southernmost part of that city and the southern wall of it. And it's here that all the garbage was carried out of the city and tossed into the valley of Hinnom there below, okay? All the garbage stuff, all the refuge, all the waste, all those things. There was a constant fire that was burning down in that valley both day and night so as to get rid of the city's refuge and its trash. It was not perhaps a very pleasant place to be or to work. But it's interesting to note that this valley is where the worshipers of Molech also offered their children as burnt sacrifices. Now you think about that. You think about that. They offered their children to pagan gods. It was referred to over in Jeremiah chapter 19, I believe it is, as the valley of slaughter, where they killed their children. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. But the job of rebuilding that dung gate would no doubt be an unpleasant task. It was not something that you would just write a big resume and say, boy, this is what I can do. I want to do that. But they chose to do the work. And they said, you know what? I'm willing to do it. And I want you to note in this verse, the dung gate was repaired by Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of the part of Beth Hasserim. He built it. He set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. The security of the city was at stake. They wanted the walls to be rebuilt, but they did not want the enemy getting in. So Nehemiah delegated the work. God gave Nehemiah the insight to delegate the work to Malchiah, the ruler of the part of Beth Hasserim, and he did the work gladly, and he did the work honorably. Amen. Isn't that great? They all took part of this. Next, we see the fountain gates rebuilt in verses 15 through 16. They're now heading north. If you look on the map there, they're heading back up north. They started at the sheep gate, remember, at the top. They worked westward, came down to the south side, and now they're working northern again, northward. And history teaches us that the path through this gate stretched southward and opened the city to the cool, refreshing pool of the king's gardens there, okay? You'll see the king's gardens. And here, Nehemiah assigned workers that would rebuild the beauty of the king's garden once again. The beauty and the pool's walls and the stone stairways. All those things that had to be done. Once upon a time, it was a beautiful area to go into in that city. It was an area that was just gorgeous, they say. History says it was beautifully made. And these folks wanted it to be restored to its beauty once again. So they took the time, and he chose people that could do the best work in that area. Aren't you glad that God puts people in the right spots to do the right thing at the right time for the right purpose? Amen? Isn't that great? And the Bible reminds us of something very important. I want you to look at this. Turn over with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 just a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. And here Solomon wrote these words. He said, whatsoever, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, do what you do for God now while you're alive and well and can do it. Amen? Give God your best. And then we read a verse in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. Every time we go to the wilds and take our young people to the wilds, we'd say this verse before we prayed and had breakfast. And this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 said this, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen? So folks, I want you to see something. In the work of the Lord, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. This is the only chance you have right now to serve the Lord on this earth. Give God your best. And do what Paul said. He said, whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do it all. Do all for the glory of God. Amen. And you will be amazed how God will bless whatever you do if you'll do it all to the glory of God. Now, we see Nehemiah's delegation of the work on the eastern wall in verses 17 through 32. And I'm not going to take time to read all of these. My tongue gets mixed up with all these names and stuff. But along this wall, there were four remaining gates. We see the water gate. That's not Nixon's water gate now, okay? That's Jerusalem's water gate. We see the horse gate. We see the eastern gate. And we see the Mifkad gate. And it's believed from the scriptures that these particular gates really needed no repairs, but that the walls joining them together was what needed all the repairs. And so they worked on this, and they worked on the walls of the water gate, verses 17 through 27. I want you to look at this. In verse 20, Nehemiah reports that Barak, or Baruch, if you, however you want to pronounce it, the son of Zebiah, he was appointed to lead this project, and that he earnestly repaired the wall sections for which he was given the responsibility of repairing. He did it earnestly. That means he did it with his heart. And I want you to look down in verse 27. In verse 27, it's noted that some of the people worked in more than one place, even as was the situation with the Tekoites. They worked in different places. In other words, they weren't going to say, well, this is what I'm going to do, and that's all I'm going to do, and fold up their arms and stand there. No. They said, Lord, whatever needs to be done, I'm willing to do it. Whatever needs to be done, I'm willing to do it. You know what? That's the attitude that we need to have today in our service unto God. Know that whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do it with thy might. Now, we go down to verse 28. The walls by the horse gate are rebuilt, okay? The walls by the horse gate. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 28. He tells us here, from above the horse gate repaired the priests, every one over against his house. Amen, Enoch. Say amen, buddy. That's good. Yeah, he likes horses, all right? He likes horses, all right? This particular area was the easternmost part of the city that faced the Kidron Valley. And most Bible scholars, they believe that this section, this is the place where all the palace traffic occurred, okay? And it was viewed as the royal entrance into the city. During a military attack upon the city, this would be a vital entrance it would have to be built strong. It would have to be sturdy. It would have to be right for the occasion. And it's interesting to note here also that Nehemiah delegated this work to those people who live nearest to those walls, the priests and the people that live there. And they could see the importance of doing that job right. It was their local place where they lived. And you know what? Listen, we need to see that today. We need to see that where God has placed you, there's a work to be done. There's a work to be done. Wherever, listen, old fellow down south, he used to always say, bloom where you planted, bloom where you planted. Sometimes God digs you up here and he moves you somewhere else. He'll move you from Pennsylvania down to Maryland, up to Massachusetts, okay? But wherever he plants you, bloom. Give God the glory for it. And do the work that God wants you to do. Look at verses 29 and 30. We see the walls by the eastern gate are rebuilt. And after them repaired Zadok, verse 29, the son of Immer, over against his house. I don't know if that was Hebrew for Immer or what there. I don't know. Immer over here is a builder too, okay? But the son of Immer over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalaph, another piece. After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. Think about this, folks. Because the eastern gate led directly to the temple, and it was considered to be the sacred gate, Nehemiah chose to delegate the repair work to those who lived near that wall and near that gate. Where they lived, they served the Lord. And today, the eastern gate may be the only gate that is close to its original location, that eastern gate. And you know, I want you to remember that this is the gate that Ezekiel prophesied the Son of Man would come back through. Turn with me real quick over to Ezekiel chapter 44 just a minute. Look at this with me just real quick. Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 1 through 3. Ezekiel wrote, then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to break bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. This is the same gate through which Jesus passed through at his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We see that in all four of the Gospels. And you know what? This is also the same gate that he's coming back through when he returns some glorious day. Now, the Muslims have put graves and everything out in front of it and said, oh, he's not going to do this. The Lord, if God can part the Red Sea, I think he can part a bunch of graves out there in front of the gate that he said he's coming through today. But you know what? One day, it's been sealed for a long time. But one day, the King of Kings is going to come through that gate. And he's going to fulfill the prophecies that were written. I want you to look real quick. Verse 31, 32. The walls by the Mifhad gate are rebuilt. History teaches us that this gate was probably an inspection station. An inspection station for travelers entering to the city. And perhaps some of the type of civil garrison for military personnel, other government officials work there too. But he set up the people that would be there. And this would have been an ideal place for vendors and merchants to sell their goods. And it was a wise move on Nehemiah's part to put those folks, the merchants, the goldsmiths, and all those people that would be bringing those people in and out, working with them, for them to do all that. What am I saying? God gave Nehemiah the wisdom to delegate, to get the job done. And if you read over in chapter 6, and we're going to get to that next week and on in the next weeks, they completed all the work in record time in 52 days. 52 days. Man, folks, I'm telling you, there is a work that needs to be done. Each of us has a job that we can do, but we got to have a mind and a heart to do the work. Amen? Let's choose today to do that. And let's choose to serve the Lord with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our body. Let's give Him the best that we can do. Let's not get our eyes set on people. Let's get our minds and our eyes and our hearts set on the work that needs to be done and say, Lord, wherever you need me, that's where I'm willing to go. Amen? That's where I'm willing to go. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today. And oh God, how I love this book of Nehemiah. And Lord, how that you show us so many things from it. And Lord, we've learned that there's a job that needs to be done. And Lord, a job that you want to be done. And God, there were people that were willing to do the work. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help us today to have the vision to see the work that needs to be done, getting the gospel to those that are lost. Lord, that's our job. That's what you've saved us to do. Help us, Lord, to be willing to take that message anywhere and everywhere, to do the work that you've set before us with a happy heart, with a joyous heart, with a just a willingness in our soul to serve you. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord, to see that need to do that today. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he comes to preach in just a moment. Bless the two that get baptized today. Continue to bless and use us, Lord, for your honor and glory. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.